Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening, we'll talk about why African migrants are risking their lives on the Mediterranean. And tonight, we'll be joined momentarily by my colleague, Patrick Deya. Patrick Deya will be joining us in a moment. And joining us from Durban, South Africa, is regular panelist Suleiman Mgula. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and our viewers. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome very much. And how is Durban?
No, Durban is fine, a bit warm.
I see. That's very good.
Thank you.
As I said, our topic tonight, we're looking at the issue of migrants, African migrants going to Europe. But first, VO reporter Antonella Sifaraza is in Palermo, Sicily. And let me begin there and ask her. Antonella, tell us the current situation right now. Give me an update on the current situation of migrants from Africa.
Sure. Well, only in the two last days, over 2,000 migrants have been rescued from many fishing boats found adrift in the Mediterranean Sea. As far as we know, there were at least two casualties, but the truth is that nobody knows how many people drowned in the Mediterranean during the travel. Anyway, all the survivors were taken to Sicily. And as expected, the numbers of migrants crossing the Mediterranean is going up sharply as a result of a good weather condition and of the closing of the Balkan routes. Statistics for the first 3 months of this year show that more than 20,000 migrants have been rescued from smugglers' boats in distress in the waters between Libya and Sicily. Last year, they were 13,000. So the analysts actually say that the worst has yet to come. Who are these people arriving in Italy? Well, in the past year, the largest group of migrants arriving in Italy were Syrians, while last year this flow has decreased since Syrians preferred the Greek route into Europe. The majority of people arriving in Italy are people fleeing Gambia, Nigeria, Senegal, Mali, Ivory Coast, Guinea, Morocco, Somalia, Eritrea, and Ethiopia. So as I said, with the summer approaching and with the closing of the Balkan routes, Syrians, together with other nationalities people, will once again have to gain entry through Italy. What happened when they arrive? Once picked up, the migrants are ferried to the hotspot processing centres. We have six hotspot centres in Italy. Five of these are in Sicily, but only three are operating. And this is the new approach, the new European approach system. So what is an hotspot? The idea is to create areas of disembarkation where migrants are screened, identified, and fingerprinted. Those climbing asylum immediately are channeled into an asylum procedure and hosted in a reception center in Italy, while those who are not considered in need of protection are returned to the countries of origins. And this is the problem, because several human rights Association have been denouncing the hasty method used to separate real asylum seekers from those who are just economic migrants. We have to imagine that one of the main tools used in the Italian hotspot is a questionnaire. It's a very short questionnaire, and many people do not understand why they are completing the questionnaire. For example, in the questionnaire provides a number of tick boxes. We know of many refugees who select work because they want to show the willingness to integrate economically. But for this reason, they are denied the right of asylum. At the end of the day, everybody knows what the main criteria used to distinguish real asylum seekers from the economic migrants is only the country of the origin. Mm-hmm. Those who come from countries considered safe are automatically classified as economic migrants and receive a document notifying their rejection. The problem is that there is not such a thing as an official list of safe countries. Nonetheless, if you are from places such as Eritrea, Nigeria, Sudan, or Gambia, your chances of being rejected are extremely high.
I see.
Yes, and these people find themselves in Italy with no money, with no documents. They don't even know how to go back in their countries. So actually this system has been considered quite discriminatory, and increasing clandestinity. Migrants are hiding their identity and living in Europe by their wits.
I see. Now, how about the way you describe it, it must be a problem for the Italian government. How big a crisis is it for the government of Italy to handle all these migrants?
It is obviously a big problem, and Italy cannot tackle this problem. Italy is calling once again for an international cooperation. But the truth is that the Europe's migrant crisis is getting worse day by day as the European Union members are taking individual national measures. As we know, Austria is planning to build a new border control checkpoint in the Brenner Pass, which link Austria and Italy. And this move has sparked anger in Italy. But Austria actually is not the only country who's doing such a things. Hungary was the first to block the migrants' route, but also other countries such as Slovenia and Bulgaria have erected similar obstacles. But also Germany, Sweden and Norway reestablished border control in September, and France did the same after the Paris terror attacks. Obviously, as a country of first arrival, Italy has more to lose from the breakdown of the Schengen Agreement, the agreement on free borders, perhaps with the exception of Greece. But it's very unlikely that the European Union decides to do more, because there is a strong sense that national leaders in Europe lack the political will to support the Schengen system in crisis, that they are more focused on courting voters by ignoring the problem in favor of national remedies. So Italy, there's nothing that Italy can do. The government say, what can we do? Obviously, people traveling in the Mediterranean Sea are are risking their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot turn them away in the sea. This is the truth, because we are talking about a humanitarian crisis.
Yeah. Now, Antonella, how about the people themselves, apart from the government, the Italian people? How are they feeling about all this influx of migrants?
Well, Italian people, insofar, they have been very understanding, and in fact maybe you heard about some association proposing to award Lampedusa, the tiny island off the coast of Sicily, where there is an hotspot center. Lampedusa, some organization want to award Lampedusa with the Nobel Peace Prize. So Italian people have been very understanding. Nonetheless, now they are a bit worried because we don't have all these means to support all the migrants arriving. There are some risk for security issue and also for terror threat. As you know, the European Union border agency Frontex said in a report that there is a threat of terrorists mingling among asylum seekers to enter Europe. So many people actually think that tighter control will be necessary also in Italy.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Antonella. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. And our topic is why African migrants are risking their lives on the Mediterranean. Our panelists are Patrick Dea, my colleague, and Suleiman Mugula, the South African-based independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, here in Studio 9. We just heard from our reporter in Sicily, Antonella Cifreza. You heard that harrowing report there. She's describing a situation where the thousands are flocking in, given that the weather has now improved in Europe. First of all, your take on the situation on African migrants seeking better opportunities.
Douglas, it is saddening. It is horrifying. And we shall continue to express our dissatisfaction with what is happening. It is very sad that our African young men, women, together sometimes with children, are taking all the risk to migrate into Europe. What I can add on even before I go so far is that what is saddening is that while the numbers going north are increasing, also the numbers coming down in South Africa are also increasing. As your reporter has noted, that most of those entering Europe are from West Africa. Now, as far as South Africa is concerned, it is taking from East and Central Africa. All of them are pouring into South Africa. So the problems which Europe is experiencing, South Africa is also struggling with the same experience, because the conditions on the ground have failed to change. The push factors have become more severe. The economic and social situation has become more severe. There is more poverty. There is more unemployment. There is more suffering. Young people cannot afford, they cannot accommodate anymore. That is why they are continuing to flow northward and southwards to try to make a living, to try to survive, to try to look after their aging parents right now.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, you may have missed part of Antonella's report, but the situation is so dire, people are willing to risk their lives across the seas to go to find something to eat, begin with, because some of them are very desperate.
Yeah, and I think that's the word, desperation. Mm-hmm. the basic instinct of a person or a human being mm. is to survive. And yeah. if a situation is so bad that you cannot survive at your present location, you're going to find where you can survive. And I think that's the very basic reason why there has been the history of migration.
Mm-hmm.
If you study the history of Africa, even just Africa itself, people have moved from people have moved from many areas mm-hmm. and moved to other countries mm. because of desperation. Now, right, the present day is affected mostly by the governments that are there in Africa may not want to accept the fact that the reason why people are moving is because of their failed policies. But basically, that is what it is.
I see. Yeah. Suleiman, following up on Patrick's point here, about the failure of the governments in some many parts of Africa. And some analysts have pointed out another disturbing trend where the people are not even able to remove those governments they feel are not serving them well. That leaves them only two options, either to pick up arms or to flee and look for a better life elsewhere.
For sure, Douglas, there is now a stalemate. Mm. There are countries which are almost failed states run now.
Mm.
There are countries which are being held at ransom by a few in leadership. A country like Burundi, what can a young man, if a young man is to stay in Burundi, what is he going to do in Burundi? DRC, Uganda, Rwanda, Congo Brazzaville, South Sudan, Eritrea, all those countries are being held at ransom. As my brother has said, there have been skewed policies which needed to change. People would have changed them if they changed the government. But now the way you have put it, the democratic space has changed. These people have become elected dictators. They are electing themselves into leadership. The recent elections in Congo Brazzaville have a lot to show. The recent elections in Uganda, where the leadership actually bought almost every vote in the country because the people are so poor, so they are being given money to go and vote, but the incumbent leader, Museveni, in power. So there is no hope for changing the leadership. If there is no hope of changing the leadership, therefore the policies cannot change. Without change of policies, there is no hope for progress other than what is prevailing. That is why there is all that hopelessness which is now prevailing in most of these countries.
And another thing I think that is also that a lot of times is downplayed
mm.
is, and it's nothing to do with policy, but the rule of law.
Mm.
And especially when it comes to, as my friend says, the governments that have placed themselves in power, they're so much entrenched into cliques,
mm-hmm.
and such that when things are not done to the betterment of the society,
mm.
and I'm talking about corruption. When you just look at corruption, people really underestimate the devastation that mm. corruption actually brings into a country.
Mm.
I was just reading an article about Kenya the other day. On doctors, and this migration is not just about the very desperate who do not maybe have an education or whatnot. It is even with the professionals.
Mm.
In Kenya right now, the amount of doctors that would be enough to serve the country is about 83,000 that they need a shortfall.
Mm.
They have about 2,300 doctors in mm. the whole country. Most of the doctors trained in Kenya leave the country because they don't get any pay mm. that would compensate for the time that for their profession.
Mm.
And yet, when you see the politicians paying themselves huge chunks of money, corruption at every level of the government,
mm.
it takes away from resources that would be applied to better the community. And that just adds into the desperation of a living and people want to leave.
Yes, but now even Europe can take so much. And given that they also there's competition for jobs there, and they have the welfare system where they have to look after these newly arrived migrants, feed them, house them, give them health care. Some time back last year, they thought of a plan to come and pump some money in Africa to help these people stay there. But the monarchy, I think, may be stolen, maybe because there's corruption. So what should be the way forward?
Douglas, the more money they pump into Africa to help health services, to help education, to help democracy and so on, because there is no accountability, because the leadership is dictatorial, all that money is diverted either in their pockets or for their luxurious use. A person like Museveni moves with a minimum of 18 cars, two Mercedes, the ambulances, the kitchen staff, and he's having about four palaces. He moves up and down. Whereas this is a man who entered the leadership when he cannot even afford a bicycle. So the luxury which they are staying in, the more Europe pumps money into Africa, the more it lines the pockets of the dictators inside. Unless there is democratic leadership, unless there is transparent, unless there is accountability, you won't move anywhere. However much money they come and pour into Africa, instead the dictators are going to become more and more strong. The way they have done in Congo Brazzaville, they are able to change the constitution. Rwanda, they are able to change the constitution. Uganda, they are able to be elected every now and then using their skewed systems. So you'll find that people will continue to suffer more and more. Actually, the countries will continue to rot. A country like Uganda, the recent reports show that the country is rotting to death. The health service is collapsing. Even other sectors are collapsing. Corruption has eaten everything. Eventually, the country is moving slowly but steadily towards a real collapse.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick, there's another development in that in a number of African countries now, there's this craze to remove, change constitutions and remove term limits, which is another form of having somebody, some leader or some clique of leaders rule in perpetuity.
But I think that is born from what they've done, which is not good, and they know that it's not good. So the fear is, if they get out of power, would the people that would somebody that comes in call them to account? And therefore, the only sure way to do it is to make sure that they stay in power to protect them. But the other thing is that these people surround themselves with, you know, all these gatekeepers who benefit from them being in power. You know, the ministers are appointed. And in countries like Kenya, where they say, oh, the parliament has a way to counter check that, but you find that the party that is, you know, ruling at the time, come to a deal with another party and they come to a coalition, and then they divide up the, you know, all the jobs, and so what that does is affects all, you know. Anything else that happens within the government happens within that circle. And therefore, they have the need to protect that circle at whatever cost. I think that is the root cause of this change of constitution of no term limit. Because if somebody else comes in and thinks otherwise, I think they're afraid of somebody like Magufuli in Tanzania. If a Magufuli came in Kenya, half of those people would be in jail.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. So now, gentlemen, as we wind down the program, first of all, Suleiman,
what then should be the solution? Because now, should Africans continue dying on the seas as they try to cross into Europe?
To be sincere, Douglas, the continent is at a crossroad because the people want change, people want to see progress, but they are being held at ransom. They are being held at ransom by very deceptive, very self-centered, very greedy, and very callous dictators. They are ready to do whatever they can, including execution, including murder, including coercion, to ensure that they stay in power. The recent election in Uganda shows that referendum in Rwanda, the recent again referendum in Congo Brazzaville, the crisis in DRC all show that the people's space has been closed. They don't have any room to change these leaders. These leaders are there to stay. Yet there is a lot of nepotism, there is a lot of corruption, there is a lot of institutional decay, there is lack of service delivery, there is skewed economic policies, there is deceptive information which they are spilling out as regards the economic development. Then they have also hidden behind the global terrorism to pretend to be the defenders of peace in Africa, as a result getting more support from Europe and America. So it is really a crisis. We don't know what the continent has to do until when Europe and the developed world wakes up and takes a stand. If Europe can wake up and stop the fear of Libya and Somalia and just take a stand and come firm on these leaders so that there is change, then maybe we can stop the flow of migrants.
Yeah, last word.
I think finally the dam is going to burst at one point or another. I think people are going to be pushed to the brink where the only way they can come out of that is to push back. And I think that would probably be the start of people realizing that these leaderships are really not good for us, and therefore we have to do something about it. Now, the migration to Europe, I don't know what is going to change in the short term. But the long term, the only change to that would be if resources are available and if policies are enacted, policies that would support an economic base, because basically that's what people want.
And funny enough, some leaders on the continent are even encouraging their people to go away.
You wonder what kind of thought process that leader comes up with when they tell their people to go away.
Oh, they become slaves in
Arabian countries and whatnot. And then they turn around and say, well, you took that on your own initiative. They have no way of protecting their citizens.
Well, we shall continue discussing this issue of African migrants dying on the high seas. But that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel. First of all, my colleague, Antonella Sifraza in Palermo, Sicily. Patrick Deya here in the studio, and Suleiman Mugula in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Our producer, as always, has been Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Justin Twite. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable, and you'll find it there. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, in Washington, wishing you all the best.